The aim of our Living with Diabetes podcasts is to share information and inspire, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. DRWF will not be held liable or responsible for failure to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who's familiar with your situation. Views, information, or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent opinions, standards, or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them.
Hello and welcome to the latest Living with Diabetes special podcast, looking at research supported by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. I'm Claire Levy, and in this edition we're looking at an interesting research project which identifies the white blood cells that can damage the pancreas. In a project aimed at improving the treatment of type 1 diabetes by developing novel cell-based therapies and immune monitoring. I recently spoke with Dr. Stephanie Hanna to discover more.
I'm Stephanie Hanna. I'm the 2020 Professor David Matthews Non-Clinical Research Fellow for the DRWF, and I'm based in Cardiff.
So the title of your research piece?
So the title is quite long-winded, I'm afraid. It's Identifying Islet Antigen-Specific Lymphocytes by Recruitment to Intradermally Injected Autoantigens Using Single-Cell RNA Sequencing, a Route to Novel Cell-Based Therapies and Immune Monitoring.
Is that something you can describe maybe in sort of lay language that people might understand?
So the title of my research is essentially Identifying the white blood cells that damage the pancreas and monitoring them using new single-cell RNA sequencing techniques as a way to developing new treatments for type 1 diabetes.
And what does this fellowship mean to you and your research, both now and in the future?
So right now, it's a chance for me to contribute to improving treatments for type 1 diabetes and getting novel immunotherapies into the clinic and helping patients. And then also, from a personal perspective, this fellowship is a route for me continuing my research career and establishing my own research group. It's a really key thing for me.
And a lot of researchers have said it's a bit of a stepping stone, the funding that DRWF provides.
Yes, definitely. So a fellowship is seen as your route to independence. So rather than doing somebody else's research, a chance to take my own ideas and really develop them and hopefully bring something new to the field.
How long was the process and what did you have to produce for this DRWF Research Advisory Board?
So the whole process took just over 9 months in the end, but that was a little bit longer than usual, I think, due to COVID. But I did a preliminary application and then a full application, which had a number of things. So some preliminary data, a research plan, a budget, my CV, the CVs of the people that will be supervising me, and then other things like lay summaries and sort of a projected impact of how this might be hoped in the long term to contribute to finding treatments for type 1 diabetes.
And what was the process, do you know, for reviewing the applications?
So both the preliminary ones and the full applications went out to experts to be reviewed and scored, and they were also scored by the research advisory board that the DRWF has. And then from those full applications, the top three of us were shortlisted and called for interviews with the whole of the DRWF advisory board.
And You get feedback on your application, don't you, in complying to the AMRC recommendations?
So, I think the non-successful people got feedback, and I was just told that I had been recommended to the DRWF Board of Trustees. So,
nice. Yeah.
And then obviously during the interview, you get quite a bit of feedback about what they ask you to explain where they think there's weaknesses or whatever. They're asking you to expand upon, what you do and to think through some worst case scenarios and that kind of thing, just to make sure that your plan is really rigorous and is achievable, essentially.
And you've got some progress commitments along the way, haven't you?
Yeah, so I submit an annual report to the DRWF, and that's reviewed by the chairman of the Research Advisory Board. And then the funding is released annually to me, as I can show that I'm meeting my commitments to it.
So do you want to give us a bit more about your research and what it will be exploring? Have you got that information?
So my research is looking at monitoring immunotherapy. So immunotherapy in type 1 diabetes, it aims to reduce the body's immune attack on the insulin-producing beta cells in the pancreas. And to develop these new immunotherapy treatments, it's really important to be able to identify and monitor the white blood cells that cause the damage to the pancreas. We can't study these cells safely in the pancreas in living people, although we know from samples taken from deceased people that all of those white blood cells are around the pancreas. But the numbers in peripheral blood in people are very, very low. So that's a real challenge for monitoring them. So, however, what we've observed in Cardiff is that after injecting molecules derived from the beta cells into the skin, we can detect those white blood cells that recognise those molecules multiplying in the skin and in the skin draining lymph nodes. Yes. And so we call, just to introduce a little bit of technical vocabulary, because I'll be talking about it later. So these molecules, they're made of protein, and we call those antigens. So, and that's a bit that the immune system is recognizing. So we've been able to detect those white blood cells multiplying in the lymph nodes that drain the skin using ultrasound guided fine needle aspiration. And so we think that those cells are from the pancreas, and they're attracted to the skin and skin draining lymph node by injection of that pancreas derived protein. So I'm going to study in my fellowship these cells using a state-of-the-art technology called single-cell RNA sequencing. And I'm hoping to use the information that I get from these studies to develop highly targeted immunotherapy treatments for the immune response in type 1 diabetes. There's sort of two main arms of immunotherapy for type 1 that are in clinical development. There are treatments that can dampen down the whole immune system, and the anti-CD3 teplizumab, which people may have heard of, that would be an example of that. Or we can have antigen-specific immunotherapies, where we're trying to expose the body to those particular antigens, those particular pieces of proteins from the pancreas, in a way that enables the immune system to learn to tolerate them. So those are the two main branches of immunotherapy where there's a lot of research going on in type 1 diabetes at the moment.
So what are the issues around studying these cells?
For those white blood cells that cause the damage, it's really important to be able to identify and monitor them. And as I mentioned, they're very abundant in the pancreas, but it's not possible to get at them there to assess what's happening, and they're very difficult to find in the blood. So I'm interested in a particular type of white blood cell called T cells, and they are the ones that coordinate the immune response. And what we know is that the immune response starts a long time before a person develops clinical type 1 diabetes. So the current way of monitoring responses to treatment is by measuring C-peptide, which is a byproduct of the body's own insulin production. But by the time we see a decline in that, the damage is already done. You've already started to lose a lot of your own insulin production. And so monitoring clinical trials like that takes months or years, and you've missed a window where you can intervene. But by monitoring the T cells, we can see whether they're actively attacking the pancreas, so pretty much in real time, and whether that immunotherapy is working. And so that's really key to being able to run more efficient immunotherapy trials. And also further down the line, to being able to give us options of adapting clinical trials while they're in progress.
And what have you discovered to help you study the cells?
So this builds on some work by Dr. Daniela Tashevic, and that was actually funded by a DRWF small grant a few years ago. And she developed a method of injecting the pancreatic proteins into the skin and then sampling from the skin draining lymph nodes as a really great way of enriching those antigen-specific T cells, the ones that are actually damaging the pancreas.
So you're using the skin and lymph nodes that drain the skin to study immune cells that target the pancreas, and the ultrasound is just used to guide the needle into the lymph nodes so that you can sample the right bit, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. And so we do a mix. We sample from the skin by raising suction blisters and then aspirating the blister fluid. And then, this ultrasound-guided fine needle aspiration. And those always sound quite scary, but pretty much all of us that do the research have also had one of those while we were trying to optimise the techniques. And I can tell you they're a lot less scary than they sound. But people always tell us, and do when we've had them done ourselves, they are painless, they're very well tolerated. By raising the blisters, we can get the T cells from the skin, and by doing a fine needle aspiration of the lymph nodes, we can get the cells out of the lymph nodes. So
you've got both living and donated use for the research. So donated pancreases and living people.
So donated pancreases are from a separate project. They're from the NPOD study. That's very much what collaborators we have at the University of Colorado in Denver and also at the University of Exeter, that they work on those samples from deceased donors. So that's how we originally knew that there is that big enrichment of those T cells in the pancreas.
So are there likely to be cells from the pancreas attracted to the skin by the injection?
Yes.
Pancreas-derived
exactly.
protein. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So we were fairly confident that was going to happen based on some of Daniela's early work. But now I've been able to, with this fellowship, I've been able to take that a step further forward and confirm that those are exactly the cells that I've been looking for.
And what will you use to study the cells?
So I use a really exciting new technique called single cell RNA sequencing. So RNA is the intermediate between the DNA in every cell and then the proteins that are made by the cell that control its functions. So by sequencing the RNA, I know all the proteins the cell is going to make. And in particular, what's interesting to me is the T cell receptor on T cells. And that determines how the T cell recognizes the antigens. So in my case, the antigen, remember, is the is part of the proteins from the pancreas. And I know that those T cells recognize pancreatic proteins because I remake the T cell receptor from its RNA sequence and then I test its response to pancreatic proteins in my lab.
So the overall outcome of the research, what will that mean for people living with type 1 diabetes?
So what we're hoping this out outcome is a way of better monitoring clinical trials of new immune therapies. So we're hoping for quicker clinical trials, and then sort of looking ahead once we start to see some immunotherapies being licensed, and obviously we hope we're very close to the first ones being licensed, a better way of comparing treatments whilst you have that window free diabetes, so that we can continue to improve upon the immunotherapies.
And so why is funded research by charities like DRWF so important to developing these new treatments and an understanding of all forms of diabetes?
So I think funding from charities like the DRWF is really important because the DRWF really understands what matters to people living with diabetes. So it enables our research to really focus on those key issues. And obviously, pharmaceutical companies do invest money in developing new medicines, but to get to that stage, we really need to put in the work to understand the underlying process in diabetes. And then also, obviously, particularly with this fellowship, what the DRWF is doing is giving the ability for me as an upcoming researcher to develop the new ideas and bring in new ways of thinking. Really, I'd like to thank the DRWF for the funding because it's been an amazing opportunity for me. And I'd really like to thank all the participants who've taken part in our research. And also, I'd like to let people know that we do have a variety of studies at the moment enrolling people with type 1 diabetes and their family members as well across the UK. So they can look on type1diabetesresearch.org.uk to find out what's available if anybody's interested in seeing the studies that they can take part in.
My thanks to Dr. Stephanie Hannah for talking to us about her work.
Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Staying well until a cure is found.
Look out for more episodes of our special podcast discussing research supported by DRWF and the advances being made. To discover how you can continue to help the charity, together with the latest fundraising events, news and information, it's all on our website at drwf.org.uk. I'm Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Until next time, thanks for joining us on Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2023. Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.